On the app, online,
and across the Cape on 567 AM.
This is Cape Talk.
This is Cape Talk.
Now, the shortage of trained medics and the rising number of call volumes are only a few of the serious challenges that face the emergency medical response industry in South Africa. I mean, as a result, many patients on medical scenes are not treated timely and left in critical condition until an ambulance does arrive. According to Quinton, a lack of community medics, emergency call volumes across the board are on the increase and services are not always able to keep up. Quinton, a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me on the show.
Quinton, a personal experience a couple of weeks ago or a couple of days ago, I witnessed the fire in Bellville, and certainly I felt that it took a while for paramedics to get there, and I felt that had they gotten there in time earlier on, maybe, just maybe, things could have been different. But you, as community medics, are doing something about the issue of, emergency services.
Yeah, I mean, the idea started really when it started in Camps Bay about 20 years ago, where people felt that they wanted to increase or improve on the response time. So they set up their own organization. It was done by two doctors. And, looking today, we have three divisions covering most of Cape Town. And because we're community-based, the whole idea is that if something happens close by, we have a member that can literally get in their own vehicle and make their way to the scene, hopefully getting there within the sort of 8 to 10 minute mark, which we always aim for. And so far, it's working very well. I mean, I think 2 years ago, we were looking at about 2,500 calls a year. And this year, we're hitting the 5,000 mark. So it's definitely becoming more and more popular. We find people are using our own dedicated line, as well as the other services like the Department of Health and some of the private services are calling us when they do have lots of calls on the board to assist them.
And we talk about, your initiative all about being volunteers. I mean, work us through the process. How do you get your volunteers? Where do you advertise? And how does the training happen?
I mean, so first of all, just to say is all the volunteers are regulated by the Department of Health. So when you have certain qualifications working in the organization, we have to be registered with the HPCSA, which makes everything very, very legal. And what we find is within the sort of EMS community, a lot of people know each other. So they hear about the organization, they give us a call, and we sort of recruit people like that. We have a lot of people that come through on our Facebook page asking to get involved. And you even find people from Neighborhood Watches, which is becoming very popular. They are giving us a call and saying, how can they sort of assist? So that's how we've managed to maintain our numbers. But saying that, we're always on the outlook for more people, specifically people with certain qualifications. We call them intermediate life support qualifications. And those are people that allow us to actually run our response vehicles that we have on the road, as well as perform certain actions for patients on scene, which are quite crucial.
Are you still there? I thought I lost you there, Quinton.
Yeah, no, I am still here, sorry.
Oh, okay, good, good. To you listening at home, by the way, thank you so much for joining us in conversation. You're here listening to the voice of Quinton Luck, who is the community medics volunteer, joining you this morning to chat to you a little bit more about community medics and what it is that they do. And I mean, you would know that there's a shortage of trained medics in the country. And of course, the rising number of call volumes is not helping. And you'll note that in many specific areas in our communities, there are those places demarcated as a red zones. That means that emergency services simply cannot go in to assist. What this means is that people at emergency scenes are often left unattended, and they're missing that critical initial care that would otherwise save their lives. And so Quinton is just talking to us about their initiatives, where they literally offering world-class healthcare to everyone and to every community. Imagine that, for free. I love that word, for free. Quinton, I mean, let's talk about emergencies. In your experience, just getting an understanding, what are some of the top five most common emergencies reported, and how efficient is the response?
So if you look at the sort of top few, I mean, we obviously based only in Cape Town for now. Motor vehicle collisions are definitely right at the top there across all our divisions. And I'm not saying Capetonians are bad drivers at all, but what we find, a lot of people, specifically late at night. They're speeding. People are still having a few too many drinks and jumping in the vehicle. So those are probably the most common ones, specifically in the evenings and early mornings. We then have a lot of accidental injuries, which is things like people at home, falling downstairs, breaking their legs, and also out and about. So the sort of typical things that you'll hear about on a regular basis. And what comes in at number three are assaults. Assaults are quite common, again, probably induced a lot through alcohol or excessive alcohol. And those, again, are sort of late in the evenings and I guess in your sort of communities where there's a lot of nightclubs and people hanging around late at night. Yeah.
And I would imagine some of the key dates, as usual, would be your pay days where there'd be a number of calls reported. Quinton, hey?
I'll say exactly. I mean, you find that on the 24th, 25th, 26th of the month, the calls definitely spike. As community medics, we make sure that, every weekend we have the weekends covered. We always have our members available, as well as Friday nights and most of the evenings during the week. But you can see, if you look at our stats, I mean, there's always a huge spike every month that pops at that kind of time. And I think, as an organization, we use our private vehicles a lot as well. So what you find is that we do have a lot of vehicles on. But I think safety has become a big issue for us as well because, driving around in your private vehicle is not really that safe. You aren't as visible as if you were in a response vehicle. And what we try and do nowadays as well is try and team up with other people. So we don't work alone. We work with two, maybe three members to try and make it a bit safer for ourselves to make sure we can get to almost all the areas where these calls are coming up.
You're leading to my next question because I was going to ask. I mean, we've seen that, or we've heard over the media that there's attacks on paramedics. And I mean, to speak about you guys, you're not even in branded cars. I mean, the safety aspect of it. Do you find that perhaps sometimes that the community also gets involved and is protective of you guys?
Sometimes we do. It depends what communities you go into. I think people can be very helpful at times. However, we have noticed there's a big difference when you arrive on scene in a branded vehicle. So we currently have two or three working response vehicles. And the focus of our organization now is to try and get more vehicles on the road. It makes much more safer for us when you're working specifically at nighttime. And what you find is when you turn up on scene in the response vehicle, specifically a medical response vehicle, people of the community do come out and they offer their support. You know, if we're looking and we can't find the actual location, they'll try and give us a hand. They'll often ask what's going on and they'll try and sort of direct us to where the scene is. So for us, the focus for the next sort of 6 months is to try and get more vehicles on the road.
All right. And if we talk about, medication, being the first responders, all I see is machines and I see medicine, and that means money. It means a whole lot of money. And I would imagine that, you need a whole lot of it and more volunteers.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the equipment in the vehicles is crucial and the costs get up very high. And I think the kind of equipment that we actually keep in the vehicle, in the boot of a car, you're looking at about 100 to 150,000 rand worth of equipment. So it's very hard to just sort of buy new equipment when you need to, specifically when you're only being funded by the public. And that's the only way we actually get any sort of money is public donations and maybe a few corporates here and there. So we always are on the lookout for trying to raise funds. I mean, we're actually running a auction next month to try and help us raise funds for a new vehicle. And I think, it gets to times where things get very, very difficult. But, the primary care we deliver is just being there very quickly. Things like CPR, things like being able to understand what's wrong with the patient is quite crucial. And being able to then call the ambulance and prioritize them to be able to get ambulances there on time is also sort of a crucial aspect of what we do.
Okay. And so as Cape Talk, listeners, as this Cape Talk community that's listening to you now, how do we get involved? How can we help?
Okay, I'll say there's two ways to get involved. The one would be to actually volunteer with the organization. So if you do have a first aid qualification or you are in the EMS services at all, visit our Facebook page, visit our website, and it's very easy to sort of join up and become part of it. The second thing I'd say is, you know, try and help us from a financial point of view. We do have this event I mentioned on the 16th of August next month, which is at Silvermiss Wine Estate. And there we're actually running an auction, which is to raise money for a vehicle. And I would like to actually say thank you to a few celebrities. We've had Pete Goffwood, who's the well-known South African chef. He's supporting us as well. So you can actually, we're auctioning off a dinner, which I'll be cooking for you at your house. We have the comedian Rob Van Tieren. He's actually jumped on board as well, so you can auction off a stand-up comedy evening with him. And we have a whole list of items around weekends away, weeks away, at different hotels around Cape Town and around the country, actually. So if people go to Quicket, they look for Drive for Life, they can buy tickets there. And basically the auction of, I think, over about 35 items.
Oh, wow, that sounds fantastic. I'm interested in that cooking part. Who did you say once again? Who cooks? Where comes to your house?
So Pete Goffwood, celebrity chef, he's actually offered to come to your house and cook dinner for a dinner party if you'd like. So you can, that's up for auction. And all the food that he'll be using will be donated as well. We have a partner who's getting that organized for us. So there's a lot of items, you know, anywhere from R1,000 up to about R20,000. So we're really calling on the community to come along, buy tickets, join us in the evening. You know, there's a free welcome drink and canapes throughout the night. And Silvermiss Wine Estate have been very supportive as well. They're actually offered the whole venue for free. So there's a lot of people helping us out here.
Sounds like my kind of event. Free drinks and cooking. Yeah, no, you had me at those two. Then I'm sorted. I'm already in. Listen, Quinton, as we say goodbye to you, thank you so much for the work that you guys are doing for the community. We'll keep your details and make sure that anyone who's looking to get involved will be getting them. Quinton, a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Quinton Luck, Community Medics volunteer, joining you, telling you more about Community Medics.